The sermon today is entitled, "But I Am Only..." dot, dot, dot. A family was seated in a restaurant, and the server took the order from the adults and then turned to their young son. "What will you have, Sonny?" she asked him. "I want a hot dog," the boy said. The mother interrupted. "No hot dog," she said. "Give him potatoes, roast beef, and carrots." The server ignored her. She looked at the boy. "Do you want ketchup or mustard with your hot dog?" "Ketchup," he replied happily. "Coming right up," she said, and headed off to the kitchen. There was stunned silence at the table. After a few moments, the boy turned to his parents and said, "Know what? She thinks I'm real." Unquote. I love this little story, don't you? I'm sure the mom was looking out for the best nutritional interest for her child. She was a caring mom. But on the other hand, the little boy was not asking for a whole dinner filled with cake and ice cream. He just had a craving for a hot dog. Now, if he only ate hot dogs every meal, then that would be a problem. But the family was dining out, and he just wanted to have his own preference in choosing his entree, just like the others in the family did. And he loved hot dogs. The server in this story was tuned in to the child. She wanted him to know he was special. As parents, we love to make choices for our children because we are wiser and more mature. However, as soon as 2 years of age, they start becoming little independent creatures, wanting to choose what they wear, for example, what colors they want to wear, for example, whether or not they match or clash or whatever. From the moment they are born, they begin to work toward growing and becoming independent and separate little beings. Each one unique, a marvel of the universe. That little boy on that particular day felt that he had been heard and that his choice had been honored. He was blessed to have parents and a family who loved him and provided for him. He was also blessed to have a mind of his own. Our Heavenly Father knows all about that. God created us as human beings and gave us free will. We are made in the image of God, and God has provided all that we need. But God also gave us minds to choose our lives in this world. In theological terms, it's called free will. God allows human beings to choose how we live in this world and who we become in the world. We can choose faith in God, or we can choose not to have faith in God. God allows us that freedom. God prefers that we choose to have a relationship with God, but God never forces us to do so. Jesus one day told the parable, one of the most beloved parables, of the prodigal son, the son who lost his way, of a loving father and an elder brother, a normal family. This young son wanted to leave home and go and explore the world. His father didn't stop him. He let him go. The son, however, made foolish choices. He spent all of his money. He ended up hungry and humiliated. He made wrong choices. Even so, his father never stopped loving him, wanting him to come back home. When the young man decided to ask his father's forgiveness, he set a course for home. His father had been looking for him, never ceasing, and came running out of the house to meet him on the road. The father welcomed him back home into the family graciously. The author of this letter of 1 John is reminding Christians of how blessed we are to be called children of God. We have a loving Father. God has chosen to invite you and me into God's family. It is not a right. It is a privilege and an honor to belong to the family of Jesus Christ. This is who we are, God's beloved children. It's a wonderful family where we will always be welcomed. God invites us to be a part of it, but God does not force us to come. One commentator from the Homiletics Journal reflects on what it means to be chosen by God. He writes, quote, "Do not say, 'I am only a boy,' says the Lord to Jeremiah, as Jeremiah was wrestling with the sense of call from God. God has a way throughout Scripture of speaking to people who are very young, people who had far fewer years than their society considered an age of majority. That line, this author says, 'But I am only,' is one of the saddest statements in the English language. And not just because it's a convenient excuse. It's a sad statement because of what it says about the person who utters it. People who say such a thing in response to what could be a call from God are not just blowing off their responsibilities as Christian disciples. They're not muttering under their breath, 'Oh, I don't want to do that, God. I just need a good excuse to get out of it.' No, they really, truly believe that they don't have what it takes. That there's been some sort of cosmic mix-up and God's call has been delivered to the wrong address. What great things we could accomplish in this world if we could only win this battle within, the battle for self-confidence. But I am only is a self-destructive mantra that we carry around inside our heads, chanting it over and over again until it becomes so familiar we believe it to be true. If we could only learn to respond in a different way, saying, as 1 John says, 'See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called the children of God, and this is who we are.'" Unquote. God, like the server in the story and the little boy, thinks we are real. God even calls us by name to do God's work in this world as Christians. Jesus told the disciples before he ascended that they would do greater things in his name than he was able to do on the earth while he was here. That implication extends to us as the body of Christ today. With the power of God fueling our efforts, we too can accomplish great things for Christ, for the world, and for ourselves. Remember the story of David. God called David to be the king of Israel when he was a very young shepherd boy. Even David's own father, Jesse, was completely shocked. "Wait, I have all these other sons that are older and more mature, and God wants this young one to be the next king?" Now, on the opposite end of the spectrum, God called Moses in the wilderness when he was already 80 years old. Moses was the right man for the job of leading the Hebrew people out of Egypt and into the promised land. Moses, though, at first thought that Pharaoh was more powerful than God. But on this journey, he discovered that God was greater than Pharaoh, and that God was on the side of justice to end the oppression of the Hebrew people. You see, God doesn't call just ordained clergy. God calls every Christian to be a minister in the name of Christ. Some are laity, some are clergy, but all of us have important jobs to do in serving God together. Please do not ever underestimate your value as a child of God and as a part of the church. Every single person is important. Sometimes people say to me, well, I'm just a helper. I'm just a member. I'm not that important. I don't do very much. Well, church, we need helpers. In Vacation Bible School, for example, we need helpers who can love those children and serve as positive role models. We need Sunday school teachers, nursery workers, greeters, ushers, council members, mission coordinators, chairpersons of our various committees, and many, 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 many more roles there are for you in the church to serve. God calls us to use the gifts and the abilities that we have in order to honor and glorify Him. When you hear yourself giving yourself a negative message in your brain, stop, pause, remember to thank God for who you are, and ask God to help you to step up and serve to the best of your ability. When Jeff and I, years ago, received the call to come to New Orleans in ministry, we did not know anything about the city, and we did not know any people who lived here. That was in 1984. I was not sure when we said yes to coming here whether or not it was the right choice, but we felt God calling. I could never have imagined how happy I would be to serve God in the city of New Orleans and to call it my home. It's nothing like South Carolina or Florida or Kentucky, where I've lived before. Now, I love those states, and they all have wonderful attributes, but there is no place like New Orleans. And whenever we have itinerated outside of New Orleans, we served in the Monroe District. We served in the Acadiana District. Our theme song, I Know What It Means to Miss New Orleans. We would look at each other and sing that song when we heard it and just go, oh, maybe one day we'll get back to the city of New Orleans. I'm so happy that God led us here. My life has been so blessed because of God calling me to serve. When God calls you, answer. There's a little song whose simple chorus says, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. It's the greatest honor to be called children of God. We are loved unconditionally, we are cherished, and we are valued always. Some of you know the TV show of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Reverend Fred Rogers was a Presbyterian minister. He gave a commencement address in 2001 to the graduates of Marquette University, and he closed his speech with the words of this song. I want you to imagine, as you hear these words, that Jesus is singing this song to you. The song is called, It's You I Like. It's you I like. It's not the things you wear. It's not the way you do your hair. But it's you I like. The way you are right now. The way down deep inside you. Not the things that hide you. Not your diplomas. They're just beside you. But it's you I like. Every part of you. Your skin, your eyes, your feelings, whether old or new. I hope that you'll remember, even when you're feeling blue, that it's you I like. It's you yourself. It's you. It's you I like. Beloved, we are the precious children of God. And God loves us. And God likes us. And God calls us into service. Hallelujah. What a privilege to serve Jesus Christ. Amen.